Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to something actually kind of special, something kind of awesome. Welcome to the renewed Twig DVD commentaries. I am, of course, Mike the Birdman Dodd, your host for this evening as we take a trip down to 1428 Elm Street. I am joined with my intrepid co-host and fellow nightmare aficionado,
Alex.
I'm excited to do this. I haven't done a DVD commentary in years. It has been a really long time. Actually, Alex is the one who suggested we bring these back.
When was the last time you did one? Or what was the last one you did?
Trying to think here. It's been Iron Man, maybe? When Dave came over? It was in Shelburne. No, it was Frankenstein and Dracula, I think.
Okay.
I remember those, and it was a couple of years ago. So Alex and I have been talking about this for quite some time to start just kind of bringing these back, not necessarily giving you trivia, but hanging out, kind of doing MST3K style riffing, but without like...
The internet can be your window to the world or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.
We're not professional joke writers, so if you're expecting pure comedy gold...
It's basically you're sitting here with us, chilling out. This is the kind of stuff we would talk about, and especially on a movie that we've already seen, but we're going to have our comments on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and the reason we picked this particular movie, I'm setting this out to a very special Twig fan, setting this one out to Donnie C. Donnie had mentioned he wanted us to do a Nightmare on Elm Street podcast, and I figured, well, why don't we just do a commentary on it? Because we haven't done this in so long. So the movie we're picking tonight is A Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors, directed by Chuck Russell, written by Wes Craven. And this is often considered to be the best of the Nightmare sequels, outside of maybe New Nightmare coming a very close second. This movie has a very special place in my heart for several reasons. A lot of good memories when I was a kid. Although Alex saw this as well as a child, so maybe you go into your story first.
Sure,
and I'll tell mine.
Sure. For I think it was my 13th birthday, we rented as a family the original Nightmare on Elm Street, and we had it all set up with black lights and strobe lights, and it just had a whole atmospheric theatrical experience, which was pretty cool. My dad even scared a bunch of my friends by putting barbecue skewers through just a cheap work glove and jumping out from behind the couch and grabbing onto one of the kids to the point where he peed his pants, which was and he didn't live it down for like a whole year. Well, after that, we did a marathon where the local video store had a deal: 10 movies, 10 nights, $10. And we would end up renting like entire series of horror films and would do, let's say, a Friday night sleepover where we would watch two or three in a row. So I remember liking this one. It's been like better part of almost 20 years since I've seen it. I like this one the most out of the sequels, and then I remember liking Freddy's Dead and New Nightmare.
This movie series with me starts with my Uncle Gord. My Uncle Gord was my grandmother's brother, and we didn't always see eye to eye. We'd have our arguments and whatnot, but there were times he was particularly cool. One time he rented the entire Jaws franchise over the course of a weekend. But I remember this. Over the course of like two weekends, he rented The Nightmare on Elm Street movies and said, "Hey, Mike, want to see something cool?" And I'm going, "All right." I'm like 12 or 13, so I'm grade 6 or 7. And he brings these out, and I'm just like, "Oh my God, this is so cool." Now, at the time, I'd only seen Jason. I'd seen up to part 7 at that time. Freddy was very, very new to me. Now, I'd had the Nightmare on Elm Street video game at the time. I got that for my birthday, but I didn't really know what's the Dream Warrior about. So seeing these movies, it was so cool. Another neat thing about these is this was the first time I'd ever owned DVDs. So when the DVD box set from New Line Cinema came out in the late 90s, early 2000s, this was the first box set I ever owned. And the cool thing about it was, this is the first time I remember a box set getting an exclusive disc. And it was called the Nightmare Encyclopedia. And it was an interactive game where you went through Freddy's house. And you get to unlock interviews, commentaries, behind the scenes photos, props. And it was a game. And you could lose. Freddy could kill you if you took too long going through a menu. You took too long going through a cave. There were even puzzles where you would have to solve what's the combination on Freddy's boiler. If you didn't do it in 30 seconds, you were dead. And the game would reset you back to the beginning. And it was so cool. One of my girlfriends at the time, Ashley, we sat down and watched this for like ever. These were our movies, were Freddy. And it was just a very, very, very fun time in my life. So what we're gonna talk about this. Did I already dedicate this to Donnie?
Yes.
You're not sure, are you? No. Okay. So just in case, because I've been talking for a couple minutes here, I want to dedicate this to a very special Twig fan named Donnie, who suggested we do this. He was very excited.
Donnie Wahlberg?
Yes. Donnie Wahlberg.
Nice.
Donnie Chrysler, actually, had suggested we talk about this.
He's a car?
He is a car. He transforms. He is an Autobot.
Okay. Awesome.
He had suggested that we do this. I can't remember what we were talking. No. I posted a YouTube video that was this dark 80s synth. And he's like, "Man, I really hope you guys do a Nightmare on Elm Street podcast." And I'm like, "You know what, pal? You got it." And that's where Alex and I just kind of made things happen tonight, is to talk about this. So we're watching this digital. We're watching this.
Digitally remastered, HD, all that junk.
Yep. So hopefully you'll be able to sync up with us. So we'll count us in, and hopefully we'll be able to get the time codes right. So,
or close enough.
Or close enough.
It'll depend on your region where you're watching and whatnot.
Yeah, whether it's the NTSC or the PAL or whatever.
Or whatever version, DVD, Blu-ray, digital.
Yeah, so we're watching this digitally on VLC, so I'm hitting the play button now. You should see the New Line Cinema's logo coming up. New Line Cinema.
Is this really the only property they've got going, or do they still have
Lord of the Rings? No, they don't have... Yes, they have Lord of the Rings.
So...
No, actually, no, they sold that to Warner Brothers.
Did they?
Oh, yeah, because Warner Brothers puts out all those movies.
Yeah, that's right, they did the Hobbit stuff, which I still haven't seen.
I need to go through the last two movies. I've seen Hobbit, but I haven't seen Desolation of Smaug or The Battle of Five Armies.
If I want to watch a movie about little hairy dudes, I'll just watch, like, midget wrestling. Yes, Hornswoggle. That's right, Blair.
So you should see Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors. I remember the song more than anything. Heather Langenkamp.
Which I met her at Toronto's Fan Expo a couple of years ago.
She mentioned cocaine.
I got an autograph from her, which is really cool.
You did?
Yep. I interviewed the people who did the documentary for this.
How does she look?
Never sleep. She looks really good for
mustache?
Her age.
Mustache?
No.
No?
She looked really good.
No dice, then.
She was, I think I annoyed her because I got a free autograph out of her because I mentioned that I did the interview with the documentary people for Never Sleep Again.
Oh, okay.
So I think I still have the autograph somewhere. I'm just not sure where. But yeah, you were talking about music. Yeah, this one has the Rock and Dawkins theme from this, which was the single, which there's a music video for it. Zsa Gabor. Didn't she die recently?
Oh, Zsa Zsa lived to be like really old.
Like 94 or something?
She was like the original Paris Hilton. Her and her sister were... Wait, is her sister... I think she was the one on Green Acres.
I think so,
but,
yeah.
But Zsa Zsa wasn't. It was, yeah. But Zsa Zsa was known for being, like, she was famous for just being famous and was one of those people that just was on Johnny Carson. And why was she on Johnny Carson?
Because she was pretty.
Because she was sort of pretty and pretended to be famous.
And she could talk a good game.
Yeah.
Like, she was interesting.
Yeah, like, it's, she knew how to play the Hollywood game. But again, I think, yeah, she's, oh, I think she's on, like, a Johnny Carson skit in here, if I remember correctly.
I think so, yeah. Where she comes up, welcome to prime time, bitch.
One of those, yeah.
Which was a line that was improvised, which, you know, it's something you don't get. You can't make a horror movie like this anymore, and no one has come close.
Well, you, oh, and this is, oh, this is, what's her name here?
From Patricia Arquette's first movie.
And she is, if I remember from when I was a kid, horrible as an actress in this.
No, she was good in this.
Was she?
I think some of her later stuff wasn't as good.
You know what? I just noticed something. Diet Coke in this was made with Splenda, and they haven't done that with Diet Coke probably since the 80s, which is sad because Diet Coke with Splenda tastes better, or any Splenda-based diet drink.
Cock.
Yes, Blair, cock.
You, that's my wonderful wife in the background there. Lady. Because these are Twig DVD commentaries, you're going to get the raw experience.
Indeed.
Chuck Russell, I think he also directed the 88 remake of The Blob, which is fucking fantastic.
I believe I'm doing a horror movie night at my place with my roommate with that, because he's never seen it.
Oh my god, he's in for a treat.
He said he saw part of it as a child when he was like 8 years old, and he was a very, very sheltered kid in that
impressionable
sense. And he couldn't eat strawberry jello for like 3 years, he said.
He
was so terrified of it. Yeah, for Medium, yeah. But yeah, he said he saw The Blob and, or part of it. He saw the part where the phone booth, where the guy gets...
Oh, bothered, yeah.
And he just screamed at the top of his lungs and was panicking. And he's like, he hasn't seen it. And he's like in his 30s now.
I think that's the same. I think that's the actor from RoboCop, or that was the other guy.
Well, the star of
the Walking Dead guy. No, it was Dale from The Walking Dead. That's who it was.
The star of the movie, or the guy, one of the guys that saves everybody.
Kevin Dillon?
Yeah, is from, people know him from Entourage and being the crappy brother of Matt Dillon.
I love that movie because of Shawnee Smith. That made me fall in love with that 80s and the girl next door look. Yeah. Patricia Arquette's, I don't know. There's something about her in this movie I just don't find pretty, but that's not the point.
No, but she was...
She's a good heroine for this.
I think this was her first role ever.
I think so, yeah. The thing I liked about the Nightmare movies and the Blob movie,
yeah,
and this is going to sound really fucked up, is you don't see many horror movies that specifically target kids.
Or practical effects to the amount that you had at this time where they had to be very inventive.
Well, yeah, like...
Oh, something's happening.
Like, this movie and the Nightmare on Elm Street series really kind of set the bar for, like, a lot of horror movie practical effects, and especially because you're playing with dream sequences, you have to be very theatrical.
I think the closest thing to this now is, unfortunately, it's ending after this episode airs recently, The Ash vs. Evil Dead. It's all practical. There's some CG, but most of it is practical effects. And if you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend you do.
Yeah, it's a great continuation of the series.
And it's funny. And nobody, like, it's weird that that Bruce Campbell's basically my dad's age. And he pulls it off and just, oh my God. You want another commentary thing we should do?
What?
My name is Bruce.
I've only seen that once.
What I remember from that is Bruce Campbell drinking with his dog and going, little hooch for the pooch.
Where was I going to go with this? One of the cool things, unfortunately it never really caught on, is when this movie came out later on. I think it was after The Dream Master, which is the sequel to this one.
Yeah.
They had the Freddy's Nightmares TV series, which was hosted by Freddy Krueger.
I have been trying to hunt down, like...
I have it.
Well, there's VHS copies that are people like that...
Taped it off of TV.
I have been looking for a rebroadcasted version that, say, somebody would have copied from satellite or something.
I think there's a DVD release, but it's Australian.
No. There's, I think, two episodes that appear on the collection of this on one of the regions.
Yes, because they show Freddy's trial and how he got burned to death.
I believe, yeah, and I believe you can get two episodes total, and they might be PAL region. So, I mean, I've been looking for that. I've been looking for this. I've been looking for there's a bunch of these, of those sort of anthology shows that...
Like Monsters from the 90s, stuff like that. Monsters,
yeah, but there's one, Eric Roberts had one called, I think it's Dark Realm.
Yeah.
There's one called High Frequency that was a Supernaturally type thing that was on MTV, or is it VH1? You can't get. There's a bunch of 90s, a lot of them were Canadian produced, and they're just impossible to find. I did, however, after years of trying to find a copy, that worked, because most of the discs were wrecked, I have a copy of Beyond Reality, Season 1, which I will bring by to you, too. And that was X-Files 2 years before X-Files came out. It's a half-hour show about paranormal investigators, which I think would be right up your alley.
One of the things I really dug about this is, without saying, you know how I was mentioned that there aren't too many movies that explicitly kill kids?
Yeah.
You see Freddy chasing her with the young girl.
Yeah.
And it's mentioned that Freddy's a child murderer, although in the remake they make him a child molester.
Wasn't that
here
he
he's a child killer?
Well, no, it's not in this film, but isn't it in? Isn't it hinted that he also did diddled?
Only in the remake do they really explicitly say it. No, it just meant that he's a child murderer, and he's after the children of Elm Street.
All the Hun kids.
This was such a creepy as fuck scene. And then the little girl, she turns into a skeleton. Like, there's some great imagery in these movies. Oh, like, yeah. Seriously, like, there aren't too many movies I can think of where they invoke that we're fucking with you now.
Well, I would say what really started that whole we're fucking with you aspect is American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
Because there's that scene where he's in the hospital and then basically the monsters come at him and he wakes up again. That's the first time that a jump scare happened that way. We had the Carrie scene where at the end she comes out of the ground, but you sort of expected that to happen.
Yeah. And one of the things I also really appreciate about this is they make... Freddy was threatening in the first movie. In the second movie, he started to get more of a sense of humor with, like, you've got the body, I've got the brains. In this one, Freddy became... He was funny yet still threatening. Freddy became the star of these movies. And... You got to see how his powers worked a little bit more.
Well, the first,
like that, for example.
The first one, yeah, exactly. Where she just the slashing wrist aspect. I forgot. It's like Lawrence Fishburne.
That's right. His first movie was Rumblefish, but this was like very close to the beginning of his career.
He was in Apocalypse Now.
Yeah. He was one of the gunners.
He had to lie about his age because he was like 16 or 17. He had to say he was like 20.
That's ridiculous. It's so weird to think that's Morpheus and Cowboy Curtis.
And also, the guy on the right looks a bit like Bill Maher. Bill Maher had a love child with Judge Reinhold. Doesn't he?
He really kind of does. He really kind of does.
He's like, hey, I'm not a creepy-ass doctor.
One of the other cool things, for those of you that haven't seen it, this very much ties into Freddy versus Jason. They actually bring back this place, Weston Hills, as the psychiatric hospital, where they keep the one girl's boyfriend, Will.
Oh.
And they bring back Hypnosil, which is the drug these guys eventually started taking.
I know it was Jason X, but I was kind of hoping that Cronenberg could have somehow found his way in or made one of these films.
A Cronenberg nightmare would be so amazing.
Because of the body horror aspect.
Well, yeah.
See, the closest thing to that would be Freddy's Revenge, because he was sort of turning into him, right? So,
or if Cronenberg directed kills. Like, okay, here you go. Like, the one kill I can think of is where the one girl's eating herself to death in Nightmare 5, The Dream Child.
Yeah.
Or where the girl turns into the cockroach in Dream Master. That would have been amazing. Oh my god, I just got, well, like, a dream boner.
Well, Dream Child, I never cared for.
I find Dream Child gets better with subsequent viewings, but it's definitely the weakest.
Here's how you can tell that a movie's a little older.
Does the nurses wear the hats?
The nurses' uniforms, yeah. And then the old tables they were using. Now, a lot of this would have been stuff probably from the 60s that they could get for dirt cheap for the movie.
Yeah, like, this is, like, some location somewhere.
Yeah, the other thing is... The giant-ass needle that they used to give people back then?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I got some pretty big needles when I was in the hospital, but nothing like this. Whoa.
Oof, slice them. Other thing I just noticed, you got really dirty socks. Gross. Look how dirty the bottom of the socks are. What a dirty hospital.
And then she starts singing the Freddy song.
I speak to ghosts.
I remember kids in my grade 7 class trying to creep people out with that.
I thought you were going to say something like, I remember kids in my grade 7 class going, that girl's hot.
I know whenever me and my friends used to talk about this movie as kids, we always found her more cute.
Langenkamp?
Yeah, Langenkamp. Because
with her lion's mane hair?
There's just something about her. She kind of throws off that confidence.
Yeah, that's true.
Plus knowing that she beat Freddy in the first movie. It's like, okay, you know how to handle yourself. That's cool. Though the romance between her and this doctor dude is so...
Dr. Marr?
Ew. It's just kind of gross.
Also, those shoulder pads. Ay, 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 ay. We need to do, like, Death Wish and a bunch of... There's so many movies we could do commentaries for.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, like, horror is just one of the many genres we're into, but, yeah, like, you know what I'd love to do? A Chuck Norris Delta Force. Because they're so ridiculously
Delta
over the
Force
top.
Delta Force 2, specifically.
Or American Ninja, with, like, Michael Dudikoff. Oh, my God, can you get me those movies?
Have you ever seen Blind Fury?
No.
Okay, it's Rutger Hauer, so from...
Hobo with a Shotgun.
Hobo with a Shotgun. And he plays a man that gets blinded in Vietnam, and the Vietnamese teach him how to be a ninja.
What the fuck?
And then he goes into the States and helps a boy and some people, and he has to fight Sho Kasuji, who was known for doing the ninja movies of the 80s, Enter the Ninja.
What the
hell? It's a blind Dutch Vietnam vet ninja versus bad people, and it's hilarious and awesome. And it was a theatrical movie. It wasn't direct-to-video. And then we could do a Rutger Hauer double feature. He did a Wanted Dead or Alive... which was, I think he's supposed to play like the grandson of Steve McQueen's character from the 50s TV show.
Yeah.
But it's based in the 80s and he's a cop. All I know is Gene Simmons is a bad guy, I think.
That's weird.
Gene Simmons is also a bad guy in Runaway, which is a movie that was supposed to go up head to head with Terminator back in 84. Starring Tom Selleck as a police officer stopping robots from attacking people.
What year did this come out? I'm actually just going to double check really quick.
The first one was in 84, something like that?
This is 87. So, yeah. This would have been around...
The year Alex came to be.
Wow, this movie's as old as you. Yep. That's ridiculous.
Well, think about this. You are as old as what? I guess...
81. I'm as old as Nightmare... Or as...
The Thing.
Friday the 13th, Part 2.
Isn't The Thing 81 or 82?
81, yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite horror movie of all time.
That's one of my favorites, too. I love John Carpenter. Which...
He's a big gamer.
Oh, yeah. He's a huge dork.
It's like 70-something. He looks like he's 110, but still. Oh, I remember how this guy dies.
That was such a creative kill. And I remember seeing that for the first time, just freaking out.
This looks like Yvette Kodo's son.
Oh my God, you're right. But his dream power is so lame.
I can't even remember anymore.
He's super strong. Like, really?
That's like just saying, what's your power? I get super boners.
But then again, you know which character's my favorite. Like, it's bloody not obvious. I'm the Wizard Master! Of course, the kid in the wheelchair. Oh, now that I'm the kid in the wheelchair.
I remember. This is one of the first times that I...
Saw boobs?
Oh, fuck it, yeah. You know what? This is around the time that Baby Blue 2 started back up on TV.
Oh, man. Another great kill later on is in Dream Master 4 where he dies in the fucking waterbed because he sees the naked chick. He's like, hey, I'm having a sex dream. And then Freddy drags him down and guts him like a fish.
Yep.
You know, you don't see Langenkamp in nearly enough stuff, and I'm really sad that she never kind of, break the Elm Street curse.
She reminds me of the girl from, similar career trajectory as the Phoebe Cates from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the girl that everybody, the girl that everybody ganked it to, because that was the
seriously
the movie, that movie Fast Times, the part where she gets out of the pool and,
yeah,
and pulls her top off, it wrecked tapes. It's in the Guinness Book because it was rewound so many times. It's the most wrecked video store tape ever.
That's
because
amazing.
Guys kept rewinding it and masturbating to it.
Strange world we live
that,
in, man.
Like, that's what you're known for. And I think she's married to Kevin Kline now.
I think so, yeah, or something like
but
that.
But again, people thought she was going to go super, you know, tons of play. And she did like three movies that anybody knows about.
Yeah, like Lycan Camp will forever be known as Nancy.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not a terrible thing. I mean,
no.
Kind of like how all the girls from the Jason movies.
And hopefully she gets residuals. I don't know if she would have got it from the first film, but at least for this one. And then she shows up again in New Nightmare, right?
Yep, she's the main character.
So, I mean, she's probably getting the most residuals out of all the actors in this.
And you know what sucks? When they cast the new Nancy in the in the 2010 remake. Ugh.
I still haven't seen the newest one. I
just it's terrible.
I didn't want to see like the Platinum Dunes remakes of Friday the
13th. I will say the Friday the 13th one is not bad.
What about... really?
Yeah, it's not
and
terrible.
Texas Chainsaw, I have no interest in seeing those either.
I don't remember much about that. I think that one reviewed okay, but not great.
But it was right when everything... Look at Dot Doc.
Oh, wow.
It was right around the time... And look at the floppy. It's the old floppy. I remember around that time is when we got like House of Wax remake and all that crap.
That
was
bad.
The only one that I liked that didn't do maybe commercially as well as it should have, I liked the Haunting remake.
With Owen Wilson? Or am I thinking the House on Haunted Hill?
The Liam Neeson one.
Yeah, and there's like a skeleton that jumps out of like a fireplace, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the ghost and all that. That was, I liked that. House on Haunted Hill I thought was okay. Halloween H2O was good, but Halloween Resurrection was crap.
Trick or treat, motherfucker. Fuck off.
Yeah.
That was so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So...
I like the Rob Zombie, the first Halloween, but the second one is mind-fuckingly stupid.
I didn't bother. I mean, I'd rather him make new stuff like when he made Lords of Salem and all that.
I still haven't seen that.
Neither have I, but I like the premise behind it. I like when he isn't just remaking things.
I like Devil's Rejects, but I hate House of a Thousand Corpses.
And I like all types of horror. I'm just not a fan of certain torture stuff. Like, I haven't brought myself to watch... was it the Green Inferno, the Eli Roth movie about the people in like Papua New Guinea cutting people up and eating them?
Yeah,
because
I haven't seen that
either.
Because
I'm not a fan of things where like it looks like people are going to get like their fingernails pulled and stuff. I'm not a fan.
Like
of that.
The worst horror movie I've ever seen was Cannibal Holocaust.
The melting thing here, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that I thought was creative as shit. I actually had that trike when I was a kid, and that always creeped me out too.
I had a trike like that when I was 2. And I ran and tried to jump on the back of it because I saw kids riding skateboards. And my mom... My mom had just gone inside of the house. She's like, come in right now and pick up your stuff. I'm like, okay. So she goes into the house and I ran and jumped on the back of my thing, mangled myself inside of it, and a neighbor had to come out because my mom had just gone to the washroom. And she comes out. She's like, what is going on? And I was like all mangled up in it and I scraped my knees real bad. That was bleeding everywhere. And it's like, I realize nowadays people be like, oh my God, there'd be an investigation. It's like, no, I was a stupid kid doing a stupid thing. But I remember after that, I was terrified of those red tricycles. And I only got a big wheel after that because I liked the Batman big wheel.
Just watching that scene, one of the great things I love about horror, sound design.
Yes.
Because half of horror is sound.
And these
movies can get you with just the right...
Yeah, I honestly think, like, comedies, you don't need a lot of sound design. Even action movies, you don't need a ton unless it's like a big epic. Basically, those
Michael Bay type movies.
Big epic historical films and horror films have benefited from stereo and surround design more than anything.
I mean, it's neat listening to hearing the shrieks. Like, hell, that's the big thing about the 80s. The Scream Queens.
Well, and just the... Even the buildup of like hearing something crawling from behind you can really heighten your awareness of what's going on.
Well, there's a horror movie out right now in theaters called A Quiet Place.
The one, yes.
And they said specifically, see this in the theater where people will shut the hell up.
And I've heard it's absolutely terrifying. Ooh, good God.
Yeah, they actually had to repaint this because it looked like a dick every time.
It still looks like a dick. Nom, 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 nom. Gross. Like if it was Troma, they would have just used Harry Balls, the penis monster, which I still laugh, and I have to say it every time. Harry Balls, the penis monster. Remember that one from Tromeo and Juliet?
Yep.
We got to do Troma. Ooh, that's pretty good.
I always thought that was so cool. And it's such a weird power to have to suck someone into your dreams. But obviously it carries the narrative forward.
Ew, now it's really a one-eyed monster. Gross.
You. I remember fighting this boss in the NES game. And that's the cool thing. I think the Elm Street movies, more than anything, have benefited from a strong mythos behind it. Jason, it's never really explained how he comes back. Just, oh, he's fucking in the lake and now he's back. With this one, how do you kill something that isn't alive? Like, literally, a dream.
It makes me think of, like, it's been a long time since, like, Candyman.
Yeah.
Like, some sort of mythical force.
Because that's what Freddy is. He's literally, you have to sleep.
And he's basically, what if the Sandman was evil?
Yeah. Like, I remember as a kid sitting there thinking about, after watching this movie, and literally having that existential crisis of, if I die in my dream, do I die for real?
People freak you out with that. I've died in my dreams, and I'm fine. You may wake up with your heart pounding, but unless you have a proclivity for heart attacks, you're going to be fine.
See, I've never had a dream where I've died.
Oh, I have. I've been torn apart to shreds and stuff.
Fuck.
And you wake up, and you think you've peed the bed, but you just sweated the whole way through.
I've had dreams where I've woken up and felt really guilty about stuff that I've done, but that's because I have a guilty conscience about a lot of things.
You've just done bad things.
I've done terrible, terrible things. Well, even last night, I had a dream that I kissed a girl I had a crush on in college. And I woke up thinking, oh my God, did I actually do that? Oh no, wait, because I was in my old apartment. Nope, that's not possible. I had to rationalize it to myself.
Group therapy.
See, that kid has something on his wheelchair that I don't. I don't have hand rims.
What? A hand rims?
Yeah, which means I can't propel myself because I have a transport chair.
Oh,
because my physiotherapist is like, you're strong, Mike, but you're not that strong. So,
oh, I see the edge things. Yeah.
So as I get stronger, I'll be able to get a prosthetic leg eventually, and I'll be able to walk again.
Watching things in HD, you can actually almost see where their makeup lines are.
Yep. I had a kind of a crush on her when I was a kid.
The blonde?
Yeah. I just thought she was cute in a weird way.
I thought you were talking about, like, the dude, which would be fine. This one. Didn't he have something weird on his face earlier, like a teardrop?
No.
Then what the hell was that?
I thought she looked kind of hot when she did the whole...
Yeah, but she's got like a Winona Ryder robbing every store crazy look.
But I thought her power was cool. She turns into this punker chick with like knives and cuts Freddy up.
Oh, and we've got the Corey Feldman looking dude here.
Yeah, and he gets arguably one of the cool... top five deaths in the entire series. And that's the thing, though. Creative kills in the 80s were something special. Nowadays, it seems almost like they're trying too hard. When you get, like, Adam Green with the... What is it? The Hatchet movies.
But even then, they're not... I don't know. Freddy's Dead is the one that has the Atari death.
Which I thought was funny, but not scary. Forgot
the power glove.
Now you're playing with power! Like, that was so ridiculous.
And that was fine. Or he gets stoned and all that. Cool.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, eventually, the Freddy movies became comedies. And it started here, arguably.
Yeah, there's still some scary moments here. But the first one still had that goofy moment where he runs like a goofball. When he runs at them. Like, it looked a little hokey. But everything else with the scraping hands and all that.
Now, I'm not sure whether this game is real or not.
Wizard Master?
Wizard Master. Obviously, it's based on D&D or Hero Quest.
It's probably like a Hero Quest slash, what's that, Tunnels and Trolls thing?
Yeah. Which I've always been curious. So if anybody out there knows, seriously.
I thought this other dude laying on his side had a mark on his face or it looked like a teardrop, like he had a tattoo.
I don't know.
And that looks like...
That is an RPG, because those maps are like old school D&D maps.
Is that Titanus, the Power Zord?
No, that didn't come out until...
That's all I can see is it looks like Titanus.
Actually, I'm thinking too far into this.
Look at that. That's what it looks like.
He's a paraplegic. I am not.
Oh, he's not a quad because he's not from the neck down.
He's just from the waist down. Which, you'd be surprised how much the world does not accommodate being handicapped.
No, and it's like, back in the day, I remember as a little kid, like, my grandfather would go, that one's a bit gimpy.
And that's just how old people talk.
Well, that's just how people, born in the 1930s, that's what she said. It didn't mean anything, but it's what sticks out in my head.
My next door neighbor, Paul, was, I think he had a tree fall on him, and he was always in a wheelchair when I knew him. He was paralyzed from the waist down. And I never realized how hard it was until I became in a wheelchair too. And you just realize how much the world is not built for
you. My grandparents' friends that helped them build part of their cottage and do renovations back in the 70s, he was a roofer, and he fell from like a second story building and was paralyzed from the waist down.
Jesus. And it doesn't take much.
No, and it's like, but he was one of those guys that worked so hard, like he still did woodworking from sitting in a chair.
Oh yeah, like my next door neighbor Paul, he had this huge workshop in the basement, and that's the thing, he had one of those wheelchair elevator things, or he could sit in his wheelchair
and it would go down
and it would go down the stairs. I'm thinking, man, that's so cool.
Well, and the thing is, a lot of times you want, especially if it happens when you're young, you want to get really, and you want to change your talent. You want to work, okay, I can only use my hands. Well, guess what? I'm going to become a artist, or I'm going to become a candlestick maker, or I'm gonna do special fine art design. I'm gonna do chrome work. Whatever you want to do, you find a way to do things.
Yeah, like this guy. I remember him being amazing at woodworking, and I always thought it was really cool. I kind of wish I'd asked him for something when I was a kid. But yeah, it's kind of weird how the world is just not built for that.
I just find it funny that they tried to make her look older by putting a white streak in her hair, but she still looks like barely 30.
Yeah. She's very young.
Because, like, she doesn't even look that old now.
I wonder how... I'm actually just going to very quickly check on my phone how old she is now. She's 53, and she looks good for her age.
Like 43, here. 30. So she was, like, 20... She looks better now. She was probably, like, 25 when this movie came out, but they're trying to make her in her late 30s, it looks like. Or something, because why would she, or sorry, was the white streak that she, I forget, did she get that from being afraid?
Yeah, I'm just looking at her career. Evidently, she was in Star Trek in the Darkness. I missed that.
I still haven't seen the newest one. Ooh, this
Neither
is
have
a pretty
I.
cool.
See, this motion. Was such an amazing kill.
A stop motion effect?
Yeah. And stop motion is a lost art.
Except what Aardman does with, like, they had that new Early Man movie come out. But you've basically got one studio that does it now, and that's it.
And this is creative as hell.
Yuck.
And this is where I think the imagination of Wes Craven really showed up.
Because he was like, I don't have to direct it, I'll just write it.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, like, you think about that, how painful
I'm
that
sorry,
would be.
Tendons. Have you ever had a tendon seize up on you? It's
yep.
Terrifying. Where your hand twists in the wrong way that you don't want. I see Run DMC. I love watching everything in remastered HD because you can make out every little detail. You can almost make out text. There's a girl with her bum.
And that's the thing. One of the things about this movie, if you look at it in terms of in the movie world, he could have saved his life there, but he didn't think enough.
Yeah.
Oh, just the... Like, this scene, it always... I feel it.
Owie.
Oh, my God.
I stepped on a piece of glass earlier in the week, and there was a lot of blood. I had to keep applying pressure to it, so my roommate had to help clean it up, but it was like a cup of blood. I probably should have got it checked out. And then, the more you know about Alex...
Oh... There's that 80s synth music.
Oh, for a second I thought he moved his legs, but he did pretty good.
Yeah, I actually wonder if that actor was...
Mute?
Actually handicapped. I don't know. Because that's got to be something to act too, right? That's another thing, too. This movie was extremely well cast. And it's one of those scenes that really gets the tension going. The music really plays well with it. Except for that part. God, stop!
Oh, that's a shrill scream. Oh, and just the swipe. I know it's coming. It's a really cool effect.
Oof. Oh. And realistically, and once again, looking from the movie's perspective, that's an incredible, painful way to die. Oof. Having your tendons ripped out and then just, ugh. But then again, that's Freddy. He tortures you before you die. Unlike Jason, he'll straight out kill your ass.
Well, with Jason, it seems like it's also going to be a fairly quick thing.
Yeah, like you get an axe to the head, you're dead.
Remember that... that Freddy feeds on your fear before it happens.
Yeah, he wants you terrified.
He's a fear demon.
Yeah, and that's why I think he's one of the greatest creations in cinema. I really think
And I know you haven't played the Dragon Age series, but in it, there's the world, the fade, they call it, and it's sort of like the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
And people can be possessed by different demons, and some of them are fear demons that just... torture people like that. And this might have been one of the first times that I remember hearing about a demon that just fed on fear.
Like,
he feeds on fear and then your soul.
And that's like Freddy. That's exactly like Freddy.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about the origins of Freddy Krueger from Wes Craven, how he read about how these people from South Asian communities were dying in their sleep. And stuff like that. And just, once again, having that existential crisis. Can you die in your sleep? What can actually kill you? The nature of fear, the nature of evil. And looking at Freddy Krueger as a character, something so evil, something came up from hell to give him these dream demons. Because in Freddy's Dead, number 6... they straight out say he's a dream demon, and these things give him power.
Exactly, the fear of... because why would you go after children? Because they're more likely to have their imagination run wild.
And when you see in Nightmare 6, too, there's a point where you see obituaries, and you see the ages of some of these kids. Even in Freddy vs. Jason, it's a very brief... I think, if I remember it right, there's a scene, and you see obituaries, and you see... age 10, age 8, age 12. And you see Freddy Krueger pick on teenagers because killing a kid on screen, I can only think of one movie that's ever done it, and that's The Blob 1988, where they kill the kid in the sewer.
Toxic Avenger, head-crushing scene.
Okay, so that's two movies.
And that was, and didn't it get an NC-17? So like, and like a hard R rating? So it's
not the norm
to do that, no.
Yeah, it's rare.
So that's why you cast teenagers, but in the same sense, I'm almost thinking he doesn't regularly go after teenagers because the older we get, the less nightmares we normally get, the more we rationalize things in our own world. A teenager is very emotional, so that's why they have the chance of having nightmares. But the older you are, the more likely you are to fight back and not be afraid and not even let him take control.
Well, that another thing, too. He wants the Children of Elm Street, but he's also just, like, he wiped, like... in Nightmare 6, once again, they openly say the Children of Springwood are gone.
Yeah.
And they haven't seen a kid in years when Roseanne and Tom Arnold show up.
Yeah.
Which is, like I said, they build this incredible mythos in this world. And I know people are saying, oh, Mike, it's a stupid horror movie. If you're willing to look at it deeper, Nightmare has a wonderful story. And there's so many untold stories from there because there are Nightmare on Elm Street comic books. And some of them are really good. There's actually one where it's Ash versus Evil Dead versus Freddy and Jason. And Freddy makes Jason the general of Hell's armies. And it's ridiculous. Basically, Freddy gets the Infinity Gauntlet and gets the Necronomicon. It's weird.
You know what? This couch looks somewhat comfortable. It's that vinyl covering that they put in hospitals so that if you
pee yourself,
yeah, that it's easy to wipe up. But they're also, they don't hold a lot of heat. Actually, I'm pretty sure my mom has that chair.
Yeah, but say I've had that chair.
Like, my mom in her basement has that chair, and it is ridiculously comfortable. And you don't really sweat on it either.
Nope.
You just, the only thing is it's low to the ground, so you got to put your feet up. Oh, look, it's...
the drug dealer.
Every...
scumbag.
I'm Italian, so I'm going to say this. Every Guido greaseball Italian stereotype rolled into one.
Yep. And I love what he's talking about, clean pharmaceutical highs. Mm. Now, unfortunately, through my amputation, I've had a number of drugs.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And a pharmaceutical high is very strange.
I've taken my share of Tylenols when I've had headaches or had swelling, basic stuff when you go to bed, joint pain, like everybody else, the normal amount. After I had abdominal surgery, they gave me 10 oxys because it's a controlled substance, and they only wanted to give you basically 2 per night to help you sleep when you're recovering. That stuff was awesome. So I understand why they're saying that there's an opiate epidemic for people that get addicted. I don't have an addictive personality that way, but there is a very big difference between a clinical strength pill that is a narcotic and just everyday over-the-counter stuff.
Yeah. So, like, I take hydromorphone, yeah, which is a very strong opiate.
Yeah, mine was, like your standard oxys. It wasn't Percocet, which has Tylenol in it as well. They gave me the slightly more mild, but it's stronger than morphine. And it was basically, the rule was one pill makes Alex's swelling and pain go away. 2 pills gives him night-night for 8 hours.
I've unfortunately built up such a resistance to it is my hydromorphone. It knocks me out, but it takes the pain away.
Dilaudid? That's what it's,
yeah.
Yeah. And it affects people differently. So the idea is you're supposed to wean yourself off as you need it. Now, your recovery is going to take a little longer than mine. Abdominal surgery heals in about 6 weeks to 6 months before you're completely healed up. But really, it's the first week where you're careful with what you've gone through. It's longer. So, oh, here we go. Zsa Zsa.
Who gives a fuck what you think?
Basically, he just said everything that my parents and grandparents' generation ever thought about her.
And it was so clever, too. And I think it was Dick Cavett was the guy there. It wasn't like...
oh, the Dick Cavett show?
Yeah, and it wasn't Johnny Carson. It wasn't Jay Leno. Or I guess he would have been...
Well, there were a few shows. So it could have been... it's one of the other late night shows.
It would have been funny had there been like David Letterman or something.
That looks like the silver TV that my great-grandfather gave us that I had to become the channel changer because it shocked you every time you changed the channel. Oh,
your
here
we big breaking TV.
That's a cool effect.
I love that.
TV. Time, bitch. This is where they're going to question, how did this even happen?
Yeah, like, how did she slam dunk herself
into
the
TV? Because there's no chair. So, like, at this point, anybody that's there has to start questioning shit.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if, once again, looking from the world out, these child deaths, like, if anybody was, like, remotely looking at how many kids die in Springwood, like, this is weird.
If 3 people at this point are dead, 3 children in this facility, I would... especially in the day of communication that we have now, it would be almost...
shut down?
No, it wouldn't be shut down. It'd still be operating. You would have a swarm of government officials there.
Oh, yeah.
Going, what the fuck are you doing? We can't have 3 kids die in 3 days here.
Yeah, like...
like, it's bad enough when one kid dies in, like, juvie prison, let alone a mental institution.
And yeah, and they're all suicides.
These are suicides this is a mental health facility for kids with sleep problems. There is no reason why 3, if one kid dies, it's a fluke and freak accident, and it's still going to have to get investigated, but 3 within 2 nights?
That's insane. And yeah, like, I'd love, I mean, honestly, I wonder what a Dream Warriors remake would look like today. Imagine the Dream Powers would be so much cooler.
Well, it'd be all CG, though.
Yeah. But if they kept the spirit of it...
If you were to do it, you'd have to do it practical. And there are some people that are doing practical effects, but...
like Greg Nicotero from Walking Dead. Tom Savini, of course.
He's getting up there, though. I'm trying to think something practical. Oh, Turbo Kid. Did you see that one?
Yeah. Actually, you and I watched it.
Low budget, like $1 million budget with Michael Ironside, all practical effects. Now, if you increase that budget, let's say $7 million, and did all practical, like you could do a pretty good. Like The Thing was the new remake of The Thing, or the prequel of The Thing, was supposed to be all practical, and then the studio interfered and said they wanted to go CG, which is stupid. But I know it can be done, and you can, because look at Cronenberg basically did practical all through his career till he stopped doing body horror.
Yeah.
And his budgets were never that huge.
Like, for example, this movie only had a budget of $4.5 million, went on to make $44.7 million U.S. and Canada.
Now, think about 5 years earlier. If you look it up, what was the budget for The Thing?
Which still has some of
the
best
practical effects ever. The Thing and Videodrome. Even Scanners had it, but I think Scanners was like $1 million. So you could do really freaking cool. Scanners, the head blowing up scene.
1982, The Thing had a budget of $15 million.
That's pretty big. Okay, look up Scanners.
All right.
Because Scanners was around the same time, I think, 82, 83.
That's another movie I haven't seen yet.
I'll watch that with you. That is one you will like.
Scanners had a budget of, it doesn't tell me, but it made a box office of 14.2.
Okay. In that movie, their part, you've seen the head exploding
scene. Oh, God, everybody has.
You know what that was?
What?
Practical effects? It was a dummy head, like balloon, sort of rubberized head, filled with dog food. With red food coloring. Cronenberg, because they couldn't get a stunt person to do it, they had him lay underneath a table with a double-barreled shotgun, and he blew it up with a shotgun.
That's awesome.
Himself. And that was their practical effect. One shot, whole thing cost like $5,000.
Damn.
And to CG that could have cost you $50,000 to $100,000 like nowadays.
We want to talk about cheap effects. One of my friends from college worked on a short. Look it up on YouTube. It's called BioCop.
BioCop? Okay. Yeah. So
I think you and I have sat down and watched that, the short.
I think we might have. But even then, like, you can do CG on the cheap and make it funny, a la, what's the one? Kung Fury.
Yeah.
Which is getting a full release movie.
Which is going to be
or
amazing.
Or you can do Turbo Kid, which was dirt cheap, all practical, and it still looks awesome and cool. I mean, look at what Troma did all these years with practical effects for dirt cheap. It's all about the atmosphere you create for it.
Yeah, and you have to have the passion for it.
For CG, CG on a low-budget movie should be used for accents. Like, if you're building a model spaceship, you have the physical model, and you use it for the lights. Or you use it for an effect. Unless you have a ridiculous, like, $200 million budget, it's never going to look good.
Mm-hmm.
For everything CG.
I mean, this is one of the few 80s slasher movies that I think genuinely holds up.
Because I would say most of the Friday the 13th doesn't, to be honest.
I would argue Halloween 4, doesn't. 6, 7
this
do.
Holds up. Now, is Hellraiser 80s?
It's like yes, 88, Hellraiser 80. Was mid-80s.
Hellraiser holds up.
Especially 1 and 2.
I've only seen the first two, so.
The only one's worth watching. Okay.
Now, I know there was like a million witchcraft movies. Those were always cheap. It was like 13 or 14 witchcraft and Warlock and all those ones, blah, blah, blah. Holding up from the 80s. There are a lot of 90s ones like Critters and all that crap.
Critters was 80s, but, actually.
Was it?
But there were a lot of direct videos in the 90s.
I'm not thinking slasher flicks. This is probably the best looking, the best visual slasher flicks.
I think it's the most well thought out.
Because they're in the 80s, I can't think of anything unless, like, I can think of
Michael Myers.
Yeah, but something that has this kind of visual flair. I can't think of anything in the 80s specifically like this.
The only other thing I can think of in terms of weird visual stuff is, it was a movie called From Beyond, I think is what it was called.
That's the other movie I'm going to be doing. I'm doing a double feature of The Blob and that with my friends.
Charles Band, yeah.
And I've never seen From Beyond, but it's got a Blu-ray release now. And Reanimator. It's got the Reanimator guy in it.
Yeah, Jeffrey Combs.
And
Ken Foree from Dawn of the Dead.
And I know, isn't it supposed to be a Cthulhu-based sort of thing?
Yes, very, very, very similar.
I really liked In the Mouth of Madness in the 90s.
Yes, same here.
It was probably the last good Carpenter film.
Oh!
Because he did after that was Village of the Damned.
And Vampires.
Vampires and The Ghost of Mars. And then there's that new
Assault
one.
Assault on Precinct. No, that was no, earlier. Was old,
but he did that new one, The Ward, which apparently wasn't very good. But, like, I would say it's the last really good one of his.
I think my favorite John Carpenter was probably Prince of Darkness. Underappreciated.
Because of Alice Cooper being the devil?
No, actually, I just thought it was like a proto Resident Evil with ghosts.
And they don't really explain
it. Or zombies, I mean.
It leaves just enough to the imagination.
Yeah, because basically the world is safe, but for how long?
And I like They Live.
They Live, obviously. That's a classic.
You like to use a lot of the same actors.
Mm-hmm. And you don't see... I don't think very many of these kids went on to do much from this movie.
They might have been TV and stuff, but I don't recognize them as named actors.
Patricia Arquette was arguably the most successful.
Because she... I think after this... I don't remember her doing much in the late 80s, but right around the time she did True Romance in like 92, 93... And then she did a few other flicks before landing Medium. And Medium was on forever. I remember Medium was a terrible show.
Is that the Jennifer Love Hewitt show?
No, that was Ghost Whisperer.
Oh, okay.
Same thing. Basically, it was the, hey, we're pretty girls, that were, but we're also...
decent actresses.
We're also decent actresses. And they grew into it, like, but we also talked to ghosts. And I remember Ghost Whisperer being the better show. I only saw a few episodes.
Yeah, I liked it better because I liked Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, here we go. Okay, yeah, Alex Booby time.
I think she was a Playboy playmate or something.
I hope so. Boobies, I don't care. I am a boy. I like boobies.
I remember this being one of the first times I'd ever seen
thought of nurses in this way.
Yeah.
It was this, and I saw Police Academy around the same time. And when I saw Porky's when I was like 11.
I still haven't seen Porky's. I've seen the first Porky's, but I haven't seen Meatballs.
I believe Porky's, for inflation, is still the highest grossing Canadian film of all time. Purely Canadian, like in Canada. Because I think it made $100 million.
Ooh.
That's CG.
No, that would have been green screen.
Would that have been an optical effect that way?
Yeah, that would have been painted.
The way they
in.
Looked. Oh, because it's right, 80... wait a minute.
Rotoscope, that's it.
Because 82 or 83, it was Wrath of Khan was one of the first movies to have CG.
I guess he can stand, so I guess he's not a crippled actor.
Or they superimpose his legs on.
And of course, Mr. D&D. Which, in the Nightmare on Elm Street video game, you could turn into, like, a wizard and shoot missiles.
Magic missiles?
Yep. Yeah, actually, that's pretty much exactly what they were doing. So her power is she's a Power Ranger. She's a gymnast. But then again, I guess if you have dream powers, you're not going to choose super offensive stuff for fun. Whereas he turns into Hercules. I don't know what my dream power would be. Probably to walk again.
Flying.
Karate. I would be Goku. I think she looks really cool.
Wait for it. Here it comes. Luckiest boy in the movie.
Yep, undoubtedly. And then even when she turns into Freddy, she looks super evil.
Okay, would you do it? Freddy's head, her body?
No.
her head, Freddy's body.
You know, you're fucked up.
Yeah. I'm an equal opportunity. Oh, here we go.
Oh, wow.
Here we go.
There's She's gorgeous.
There are no pasties on there.
You know, it's weird. Women in these horror movies look different in the 80s.
Silence. You're not here.
And then... creepy.
Still okay. Still okay. Pretend
right
okay.
There.
That look, I'm still okay with that. No, I'm not okay with that. I'm secretly okay with this.
Ugh.
Okay, she's just tying him up. It's not a big deal.
With tongues.
Shh. You quiet now. Oh, boobs. 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 Yeah, it's no longer fun.
I never noticed that till just now, that the pit's lined with bones.
Well, we're watching it in HD. Also?
I have no mouth and I cannot scream. I always think of that quote right here.
Oh, yeah. There's a... There's a game, a computer game.
Based on that, yeah.
Yeah, Harlan Ellison. But I realized Freddy's face, you know what it looks like?
What?
Actor Lou Guzman. So are any of those guys that have really bad acne? It really is Bill Maher mixed with Judge Reinhold. That boy, the
wizard?
The one in the chair. I'm trying to be nice about it. You're the one calling him the cripple.
Hey, I've got a handicap. I'm allowed.
Okay.
I'm differently abled, just like he is.
The gimp.
I'm not going to go that far.
I didn't call him that. My grandfather called him that. The boy in the chair. Is he the same kid from Troll 2? They ate him, and now they're going to eat me.
No.
Oh, my God.
No. Nope, different kid.
He looks a bit like him.
That's a movie I can't imagine doing a commentary to, because everybody's done it.
True. Now we could do Troll 1.
Yeah, because not many people have seen it. Plus, it's also the first appearance of Harry Potter.
Really?
Not Daniel Radcliffe, just the name. The kid's name in the movie is literally Harry Potter.
Neat. The girl with the mohawk. It looks like they all just did drugs. The girl with the mohawk. There was a kid in my school, in high school, that had a mohawk, and I asked him what it was. It was white glue.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, how long? He goes, it's an hour to do his hair every day. I was like, that's really a statement. Are you sure this? He goes, he just literally said, he goes, I've thought about this. He goes, you think I'm going to be doing this when I'm in my 30s at the time? Like, he's like 16. He goes, no, I'm going to do this for like 3 or 4 years, have a whole bunch of cool pictures showing that I did it, and then get a real haircut. Like, he was legit about that. I was like, that's the best way to look at it. No, don't think you're going to have that hair forever.
Yeah, there was a guy I knew in high school, James, he went all out. He was a true punk.
There was one kid that wanted to get the subdermal stuff where they put the spikes in your head, like legit metal spikes. And
yeah,
the school said, no, you can't do it. And he fought them and won. He couldn't have anything that was sharp, though, so he couldn't have them in while he was there. They tried saying that he wasn't allowed to modify his body.
Good luck with that.
And attend the school. So it was like, had this been like the 80s when I was in high school, they probably could have got away with saying that they you can't do that because it's against dress code or something. But this is early 2000s, like late 90s, so it's like, it was a weird place. We used to call the principal the Nazi for a while because of those policies. And it's like, do whatever you want. I do agree with the idea of you can't have anything sharp and spiky in your head. There was a goth kid at school that used to dress like Nosferatu and sharpen his fingernails into points. And they told him he had to file his nails down because he was cutting people. But he used to even cover himself with baby powder to make himself look whiter.
Tell me, was he in the Vampire the Masquerade?
Oh, probably.
I love how it took 3 deaths and a coma for the government to get involved.
Yeah.
Or the hospital administration.
But yeah, I used to have lunch in what we called the free call. It was just called that for years because I didn't want to always eat in the cafeteria, but I was the guy that could float between tons of groups of friends. So when I went and ate in the free call, I'm saying in air quotes, there would be the goth kid that was dressed with all like Nosferatu, and then we'd have the punk kid, and then we'd have the metalhead. And then we'd have, like, the Uber Church kids that were sitting with them, too, that were there reading their Bible. And then we'd all be playing cards, like Crazy Eights. It would literally be like we were out of a John Hughes movie, like Breakfast Club. It was all these different people. And it's like, was I the fat kid? No, there was a fat kid who we named Buddha because he looked like Fat Buddha. But it's like, and then who was that? It was like all these people that were all different, like, caricatures of every high school clique you can imagine. And Alex. Because I floated around with everybody else. So I'd be gone for 2 weeks in the cafeteria hanging out with the football kids. And then they'd be like, hey, it's Alex! And I just never really belonged in one group. So I was sort of the weird floater kid.
I was always just the geek. I was always the geek de facto leader. Which was kind of fun. We had very much a group of power in high school, which I always thought was kind of neat.
I was the jack of all trades, master of none. I basically fit in with everybody, but not enough to be one of anybody.
Although I'd say one of the big things for me is when I was in high school, I very much was the movie kid because I knew everything about movies.
I was the tech movie gaming kid. I was your standard nerd.
I was pop culture extreme. I tried to do the anime thing because I went to Anime North a few times, but I was always
I didn't do that because I didn't drive in high school.
I guess I'd argue. I think I was the horror movie kid. Now that I go back and think about it, because it was always Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers.
And
I knew all this shit. I actually read the horror movie magazines that came out, like Fangoria.
I was always the TV kid, but I was always the TV kid that had, like, I was the obscure kid that watched those old shows. Like, even the stuff I do now, you know, all the super obscure stuff that I'd like. I was the guy that loved searching out weird, random, rare things that nobody could remember. Not because I could lord it over other people. It was simply because I found it cool to watch Camp Candy or random weird shows that nobody remembered.
I was cartoons.
I was,
for
like,
that.
Experienced random things. Like, I was the guy that would search out, oh, Mercy Point, the space, it's basically Deep Space Nine, but instead of a military vessel,
it was a hospital.
It's a hospital for aliens. Ran for 8 episodes. I was the kid that would search that out to watch.
Where me, I would watch weird horror movies like this. I remember going to my local video store, Gamma Video, again, and just like, okay, what's weird? I'd watch From Beyond. I'd watch all the Charles Band Full Moon stuff.
I was the foremost expert at my school, and maybe even the city at my age, of Trauma.
I didn't get into Trauma until there was a service. It dissolved several years ago, but it was called zip.ca.
It was Netflix Canada before Netflix was available here. It used the same system. And then Rogers bought it, and it became Rogers On Demand.
But yeah, I used to... That was my thing.
Like, because of those 10 movies, 10 nights, 10 bucks, I saw, like, Surf Nazis Must Die, Bloodsucking Freaks, Cannibal Holocaust, Cannibal Ferox... Anything that had somebody's dick getting chopped off. I basically saw it.
You were there. For me, like I said, I was always the big franchise guy, but I'd always seek out more. Like, I'd try and find the articles from Fangoria. I'd always try and, if it was on TV, I'd make a point to watch it. If it was on Halloween, I'd watch it.
Oh, God.
I thought this was so cool.
Come and get him, bitch.
Fuck.
Oh, I see that, and I just, because I said I've had abdominal surgery, I feel my scars right now, and I'm like, oh, I don't like that.
When I saw the cuts, I never noticed, once again, until just now, the cuts across his nipples.
Those are even hurtier more.
Like, fuck.
When I went for my gastric bypass stuff, they have to shave you. So I had to shave my chest. I'm not a very hairy guy, but I had to shave enough. And I nicked myself, and I thought, oh, this sucks. I can't imagine what it's going to be like after they cut me open. And I just saw that. It just brought me back to surgery.
Oh.
And that's before they had Steri-Strips, which is where they put glue in your incisions now, and then use a piece of tape to hold it together, and you heal without very little scarring. Back then, they still used to have to staple you like crazy.
Ugh.
You're moving. A sick girl, blah, blah, blah.
Take a staple, bitch.
Is she wearing pants? She's not wearing pants.
That's gotta be terrifying, you knowing you're gonna go to sleep and that's where you can fucking die.
Yep.
Fuck that.
Hey, Nurse Ratchet.
Yeah, pretty fucking much. Okay, I never noticed that either.
Yeah.
The name of the bar.
Oh, Little Nemo, Dream Master.
That's clever!
I never saw that before either. Oh my god. I've never seen Little Nemo, but I know that it's one of the most popular comic book strips from like the 30s.
Yep. And it was a very awesome Nintendo game. Made by Capcom, I think. Capcom or Konami, I'm not sure. That's John Saxon.
Is he still around?
I think so.
I just remember him from Enter the Dragon.
I remember him mostly from, well, Nightmare 1.
He did the Cronenberg movie, too. Fast Company, about race car driving. Oh, so they're sponsored by Diet Coke and Miller. Now, what cigarette company sponsored them this time?
Marlboro or whatever it is?
Probably a Camel. No, it's Camel in the background.
I will admit, when I was younger, I did try smoking.
You did?
And I did try Marlboros for one... No, Morley's. I tried Morley's specifically.
I tried Marlboros because I really like that Tom Selleck.
Nope.
Because I would have. That guy's awesome.
You know why I chose specifically Morley's? The X-Files.
Oh, God.
Cigarette smoking man.
You mean the cancer smoking man?
Yep. And I even did this when I smoke. I'm actually doing the motion right now.
Oh, good God.
Because I always thought CSM was such a cool guy.
My mom had a heart attack based on literally cigarette smoking. That's the only cause. She ate a perfect diet, everything else.
I tried it for 3 months. I'm like, this is stupid.
After heart attack, she quit and her cholesterol, and she didn't change any of her diet at all. And her cholesterol went perfect after she quit smoking. But I never tried cigarettes. I did try a wine tip cigar once and didn't like it.
Yeah, I've tried a cigar once. They were okay.
And then it's high school, so everybody smokes a little bit of weed at a party. I was drunk and tried it, and I was like, I don't think it's working. Well, I was hammered, so it didn't really have full effect.
I didn't try it till I was much, much later on in life.
I mean, I can count like on my hands how many times.
Same here.
The one time I did it, I got a super fucking panic attack because it was the way I was literally that Chappelle show skit. The weed's too strong. That's what it was.
Which, you know, that's something in these movies. They only ever use drugs. They have her as a drug user and the weed guy from number six.
And it's funny in movies. Like, I almost feel like, are they making those, when they show weed and they show like the psychedelic, it's like they're making it for people that have never, ever smoked
marijuana. Well, yeah, because they want to hype it up and because make it look ridiculous.
Because the reality is, none of that psychedelic stuff happens on weed unless you're lacing it with something that I would never try.
Yeah, no.
What happens the most? You get a tingly feeling.
And you go to sleep. Or you're hungry.
Or things are a little stop motion-y. Like, it's like the frame rate goes down on what you're doing. Or you get, like, you move your hands and you can see... It's choppier. It's like, it's literally like when you play a video game and things get a little choppier and things move around and maybe some time moves more slowly for you. That's it. There's nothing else psychoactive about it except that you feel relaxed. So it's going to be interesting in Canada what changes after July when things become legalized. How is that going to change for movies? When a stoner comedy comes out, does that mean everybody's going to go to the movie? And I don't mean like some people are going to get stoned. It's like everybody going to get stoned and go see movies?
Well, you still can't drive and be under the influence.
Yeah, but people show up drunk at movies anyway, as it is now, or smoke a little bit before. I remember going to see like Star Wars Episode II, and half the theater smelled like Jamaican hot box.
Oh boy!
Everybody wanted to get stoned and watch Star Wars. You could almost get a contact high just being there.
Jesus!
Now, theaters that have license for liquor, does that mean that certain theaters will let you? Will let you smoke up while you're there because they serve alcohol in the VIP section. There's going to be a lot of things that change, in at least in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting because it might change the way that they film movies too. If more people try it, they know they're going to have to change it. And they're not going to be able to make it the psychoactive. It's not going to be weed. It'll be like they did LSD or something, because that stuff will mess you up, make you that whole.
Now, here's something kind of weird. So when I was a kid, I saw this movie.
Yeah.
I was in high school. I actually took holy water one time.
Really?
Because I saw this movie and I was thinking, man, if I ever need to fight something evil, I want to have holy water.
Now, it depends. Would you get holy water from a Catholic church or would you get it from somewhere else?
It was just a church and there was one of those things.
Now,
like
is it holy water anymore if you've stolen it?
I believed... In my mind, my intent was good, but say, why are you taking this? Because I believe I need
and
protection
that's
evil.
The moral ambiguity of it. If you are somebody of faith and you're stealing for the right reason, is it still stealing?
See, that's the thing. I didn't know what to think because I was going to say, I took holy water. Why? Because I was afraid of things were going to happen. And my belief system, I've often said on the show, I have a belief system, and I do.
I would say you're a spiritual person, not a specific religious person.
Yeah, like I've got faith. Like I believe in things. and obviously after the surgery, I believe in things.
Well, and that's the thing. You start to question yourself, and it's not a case of you're afraid and looking for something. It's like you start to analyze, what do I believe?
Yeah. And when I took that holy water when I was in high school, but say, I don't know, I got a feeling something bad's coming. Nothing ever came of it.
But even if nothing bad was going to happen, but it helped you feel better.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I think that's part of the reason why I like horror movies in a weird way. Not because people die, but because sometimes you see some really interesting heroic characters show up.
Yep.
Like, for example, I love Nancy in this movie.
Yeah.
She is, to me, a better heroine than any of the other characters in this. I guess because we've had two movies.
Still a better movie than Twilight? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, yeah.
No, like, you want a strong female lead, don't look at 50 Shades. You look at something like this.
Yeah, you look at... Actually, my favorite character in fiction are two females. Commander Shepard.
For video games, you've got Commander Shepard. And really, that game, they've even said initially they wanted it to be a woman, but they gave you the choice and they marketed it more towards the men initially.
Yeah.
For game one. But from game two onward, it was clearly that the better acted version, the better dialogue was when you played as...
Yeah, when you played as Jennifer Hale, as Commander Shepard.
Renegade and Paragon options, it wasn't just how they were acted, they were written better.
Oh, yeah. Like, my boy is Garrus.
Oh, I totally
romanced
him.
I will die for Garrus.
And when I would do the male playthrough, it was Tally.
Mine was Liara.
Yeah.
Because... Once you go blue. But yeah, I mean, in horror movies, like, I don't like Jamie Lee Curtis's character.
No,
Laurie Strode. She's a victim.
Yeah.
Whereas Nancy is active.
Oh, yeah.
She, like, in the first movie, she booby traps her house.
Even in Candyman, was it Virginia Madsen in the first one?
Yep.
Like, they're the characters that are strong and they go through it. And it doesn't mean that it has to be the same way every time. Or even Final Destination. Look who the survivors were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can write a story and realistic and have somebody be strong, and it doesn't matter the gender that they are, but this was still a new thing in the 80s to do this. Previously, the women were always the damsel in distress.
Yeah, and slashers changed that.
I almost feel it was Alien that changed it.
Oh, absolutely. Because Alien and Halloween.
They couldn't market her in Alien as the star. You remember that was Tom Skerritt that was listed as the number one, even though Tom Skerritt is a secondary character. And I would say it's you have basically Ridley Scott, you've got Wes Craven, and you've got James Cameron to thank for whatever's come since.
Yeah, because you've had Sarah Connor, who went from this very meek character.
Went from a damsel in distress to being the focal point. And he's made those comments that maybe pissed people off recently. He may be a little out of touch, but what he did laid the groundwork for what came later.
Yeah, like...
What worked as a strong female badass character in 1991... doesn't necessarily translate to like almost 30 years later.
Yeah. It's different. I mean, I don't know. It's something weird how people give crap to women in media now. No, some of the coolest characters are women.
And I think the problem is when they're focusing on things now and they're saying, look, we've finally got a strong female character. It's like, no, you've had one for a long time in video games. Look at Samus. In video, like Final Fantasy VI, Terra.
Yeah.
Like, we've had 20, 30 years or more where strong female characters. Look at most of...
Sarah Connor.
Look at most of Alfred Hitchcock movies. It was mostly the women that were the strong characters.
Yeah, and the men were just like, ah!
Or they tried to... But it ended up being the woman that would be the strong one. So, we've had it at least 40, 50 years. It was more rare back then. It's becoming more and more common now. I just think it's something that people focus on more now.
Yeah, I mean, horror movies have always been the genre where you can get the strong woman. Yep. Almost always. I think, anyway. I mean, if I'm wrong,
horror
I'm
films,
wrong.
Dramas, I mean, and there's, like, you want to tell me that, like, Steel Magnolias or any of those ones weren't strong female characters? Been plenty. Fried Green Tomatoes.
Yeah, that movie makes me bawl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that movie, when I saw it, I must have been maybe 13 or 14, and I'm still living with my grandmother at this point, and it just made me realize my grandma's going to die someday.
Yeah.
And it bummed me right out.
That, yeah. But, I mean, like, the idea, what do they do with the abusive people? They cook them. Oh. Yeah, I mean, that's, you want to talk strong, or you want to talk strong but terrifying characters?
Driving Miss Daisy?
No, not terrifying. No, Misery.
Yes, absolutely.
Kathy Bates, the might be the scariest villain in a non-supernatural movie ever. Because she's the real fanatical crazy fan,
who you know exists out there now.
Sorry, this is gonna hurt you. And she, the way she smacks his ankle, and you see it twist.
Yep, it's the fucking bourbon.
Oh god! Oh my god! I forgot about the head ripping up.
That's funny.
Oh god! Now here's it. Would Robert Englund come back?
No, he said he's retired. He's retired. However,
now, would he voice something in a game or in something? You think?
If they made a game like Illphonic and Gun Media have made for Friday the 13th for Freddy, I could see him coming back to voice.
He might not want to do the makeup anymore.
No, he did it for a convention last year and said, "If you want a picture of me as Freddy and you together." This is the last time.
Well,
I'm
here's
doing
the
it.
Thing. Next year would be 35 years. Do you think he might do it?
Maybe for San Diego.
Yeah, like would it not be really cool if he like, or if they not Freddy vs. Jason? If they want to do Freddy vs. Jason 2, would they get him back?
No.
No.
I think he's too old.
Or if
for
they
it
did
now.
The Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash, do you think he might do it for that?
If they did it 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, it's getting. I know it's sad, but
all our heroes are moving on.
A lot of them are dying.
Like Kane Hodder, he could probably still do Jason.
Yeah.
But they'll get someone like Ken Kersinger or Derek Muir, I think his name was.
People aren't realizing how significant it is with Ash. He said this time he's retiring himself as the character. If they have him come, he won't be coming back as Ash again.
No, it's done.
The only way they could do that is if they did a movie to close something off. But and he'll do requests for it and you know, conventions and stuff.
Oh, yeah, he said he's not done doing conventions.
But he says the character, as far as he knows, is retired.
Which is sad. And even Freddy, he's a relic of his time.
Well,
and could you pull it off? With the 2010 remake, they tried. But they tried to make Freddy a sympathetic character. The thing with Freddy is he has to be scary. He has to be this... He's a child killer.
Like he's literally the meek man that you walk by that you wouldn't think anything of. He's a nice fellow, and then but his sadistic nature behind closed doors is he loves to torture and murder children.
Yeah. Let's get high.
Ooh. It looks like the stuff they use to clean combs at my barber.
It's probably fucking windshield washer fluid.
That always terrified me. I don't. What's that? I think it's there's that term for people that are afraid of
needles.
Not needles, no, like open holes in things. And you ever seen botflies?
Yeah.
That it makes me think that there's parasites in her.
Oh yeah.
And that is a movie that if I were to ever make a horror film, it would be about an infestation in a body of botflies where you see the holes opening and spreading and eventually you're being eaten from the inside out.
Creepy.
Nobody's done that yet, but that's the movie I would make.
Like I said, if I could remake one horror movie, I would take a shot at this one. Just because I'd really want to expand on the sequences. And I'm not saying this movie's perfect, because it's not. But I'd wonder what I could bring new to it.
Or if I were to remake one of these, it would be Freddy's Revenge. The idea that he's, again, the body horror of him growing inside of you.
Take a seat. In the name of Lorik, Prince of Elves. I've always wanted to sneak that into a D&D game.
Whenever I see Freddy's claws, though, all I can think of is, I got this itch on my back that I can't get at, and that would probably help a lot. Oh, good God.
He's the only one who selects a truly offensive power. Name of Lorik, Prince of Elves, demon be gone.
That's a funny run. Oh, that's pretty gross.
At least it's a relatively quick death.
Oh, God, because the HD, I just saw the strings.
I missed that.
You could see him hung up. There's four strings holding him up. And it was so clear because of the HD transfer. When this is all over and this commentary is over, we're going back so I can show you.
That's crazy. But yeah, when I was a kid, that was like my favorite, one of my favorite deaths of all time. Once again, he's the D&D nerd. Sorry, kid. Ugh. Poor guy. What's your dream power? I'm strong and I look like an asshole.
He does look like Yaphet Kotto. Like, all I'm waiting for is for James Bond to put a little bullet in his mouth and have him explode. Wait, actually, he was...
I remember Yaphet Kotto mostly from Alien.
Yeah, I was going to say Alien.
And Freddy's Dead. And
yeah. Was he in 2?
No, he was in Freddy's Dead 6. He was the technician friend of Maggie, who puts her under.
Okay. Yeah, and he was in Alien, and he was in Live and Let Die. And oh, and he was on like Homicide: Life in the Streets, one of those.
Yeah.
This is a pretty cool effect.
It's a dream world. Of course it does. You know, because scary as fuck.
I already miss the boobs from that nurse. I already miss it. I'm not even going to lie.
That's wonderful.
I know. I need a girlfriend. It's been a while. Maybe she's available. She's like 50-something now, but that's fine.
I don't know if they ever name her. I'm pretty sure they do in the doc, but I'd have to look it up.
Is she Nurse Perky, maybe?
I think they actually give her a name. I'm just looking for it.
That staircase is terrifying to me. I am not a heights person. I don't want to see through the stairs.
Let me see.
Is that Elvis's pink Cadillac? Which movie is it?
Her name is Stacey Alden, I think.
How old is she?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Oh, she's probably my mom's age.
As Nurse Marcy.
Nurse Marcy?
I think so. At least there is no... Unfortunately, she doesn't have any information available on Wikipedia.
So she probably did very little. She probably was like...
A Playboy playmate or
playmate
something.
Playmate or a penthouse pet or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Which I also thought this was a very clever way to kill Freddy. Consecrate his bones and bury him in holy ground.
Yeah. This isn't one where he comes to life by a dog pissing on him, is it?
No, that's number 4.
Which I thought was kind of funny and stupid. At the same
time. Yeah, it's funny. It's funnily stupid. Yeah, I wouldn't stick around for this. No fucking way. Even if I didn't believe in weird bullshit. Fuck that.
Really does look like Bill Maher and Judge Reinhold. Oh, is that where they threw him initially? I forgot.
Yep. Yeah, they buried him after they killed him.
I love a lot of the Dream Warrior song. I was like, round and round. All those 80s hair metal songs are great for...
Oh, God, movies. Yeah.
Like, even, like, Helix showing up in a bunch of stuff, too.
Like, heavy this was my first real exposure to 80s hair metal.
Mine was the Transformers movie.
Yeah, with Lion.
Two or three of the bands were the same band, and they just changed the name so they could get multiple credits on there.
I think it was Spectre General, I think was the name.
Spectre General, and was it Lion that were... No, Lion was a separate band.
Yeah.
It was Spectre General and one other band that were actually the same band.
NRG or something?
Yeah, they were the same band. I guess they did it to make it look like they had more people on the soundtrack.
Speaking of soundtrack, I'm pretty sure when they did the Freddy Krueger music video, they shot it here.
Probably.
if I remember right. It's been a while since I've seen the music video.
I hate that sound, the scraping.
Do you remember in Freddy's Part 6 where he scratches on the board and makes the kid's head explode?
Yes.
Terrifying. Hey, Carlos!
Terrifying. You see the kid with the hearing aids?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice hearing from ya. In Terrible Warriors, he's the one villain I haven't used yet. I've used Jason. I've used Michael Myers.
Are you worried about invoking him? Is that why?
I can't find the right story. Although, there is a little bit of secret info. There is a game called Little Nightmares about little kids having nightmares. And who's the obvious villain? Freddy.
Oh, the game?
Yeah, it's called Little Nightmares. And it's about little 10-year-old kids. And I've thought, man, having kids take on Freddy and win? That's cool. Because 10-year-olds have amazing imaginations.
How do you actually beat him? Like, you can maybe beat him, but weren't there like three demons that were inside of him or something?
Something like that, yeah. So you'd have to beat three forms.
So, but even those three little demons, like, can you actually beat them as long as fear exists in the world?
Probably not, because that's how... that's how Freddy stayed alive in Springwood.
It's because human nature, there's always going to be fear of the unknown.
And that's how they beat him. They erased Freddy from history, because you can't be afraid of him if you don't know he exists.
True, yeah.
And then when someone mentioned Freddy, they were like, oh shit, shut up, don't say his name. People will get afraid again. Robert Englund, goddamn, what a national treasure.
And you know what, he was even, around this time, he was on V, which was a great show.
Yep.
And I think he was one of the few guys, I think he was in the actual TV show, not just the miniseries too. He was the good alien reptile, spoiler alert, for 40 years ago.
Ooh, and that's so creepy. Cool.
The chest. The screaming. Honestly, the animatronics. Oh, and they were oozing. Did you see that? They were drooling.
Yeah, I never noticed that.
Holy I never crap. That's so creepy.
I kind of want to go back and look at that and see if it was the people who died previously, whether it was
It might
the
be.
Kid.
Well, they're looking at... Oh.
Because I know when he does the pizza kill in number 4, they all look like the people that have died. That's maybe too big of a detail to put in there, but that's still cool. Just bury the goddamn bones. We're alone.
John Saxon has like the most recognizably unique head.
Okay.
He has a light bulb head with hair on top, sort of.
I also love how they built into the Freddy lore that his powers can affect the real world like this.
Well, the more powerful he gets, the stronger he... The idea is he's always trying to pass over into the real world and make our world a living nightmare, right?
Yeah. Plus the fact that he can control your actions in the real world when he dream traps you, I guess.
It looks like Sinbad with all this claymation. Honestly, that doesn't hold up.
Not so much. It still looks cool,
though.
That
green screen was pretty rough.
I think they even still made the skeleton sneer.
The problem was he's out of focus in the background. They used cheaper film stock for that. This looks better. He's got picked up by his dick.
Yep, stabbed him. Ugh.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oof. Owie. This looks bad. I'm sorry.
And he's hit for 1d6 plus 3 damage.
Don't you start that now.
Well, you hit him two-handed. I always thought that was goofy.
Yeah.
Where he does the tightest, I've won.
Titus O'Neil.
Oh God, Titus falling underneath the ring of the greatest rumble.
That was hilarious.
I just about shit my pants. I was laughing so hard. That's a good green screen effect.
Oh yeah. Can you just imagine how that day of recording must have went? Like, okay, Robert, we need you to flick your tongue and look really creepy today.
And the mirror thing always works great. Oh, that's a good warping effect they did.
Yeah, that's some really decent rotoscoping.
That might actually be early CG. It looks like they're doing some computer effects. If it's not anything but just the warping of the light. Because these films were freaky enough and had enough of a budget back then. Because wasn't this the most successful one up to that point?
I think so, yes. This was definitely the one that was the most critically well-received. I think this one and number four did the best. And then the series saw diminishing returns with five and six.
I just loved back when horror films and sci-fi films and even action films, but specifically horror films, had theme songs written for them.
Oh, yeah. Like, the two most successful ones that come to my mind are The Man Behind the Mask for Friday the 13th Part 6 and Dawkins' Dream Warriors, and to a lesser extent, Are You Ready for Freddy with Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
Even Toxic Avenger had his own theme song.
Yep.
Even Sergeant Kabuki, man. Like, we were at a point where even the low-budget stuff from Troma could get theme songs.
We live in an era of YouTube now.
But it's lost. It's a lost art. A lot of times, you'll get songs that they select that they want to sell from a normal album, but not stuff that's made for it. And I think that's why Black Panther did so well, is because it was songs written for the movie.
Yeah.
Tron had songs written for the movie.
Ugh. I can feel the impact of those knives.
Oh yeah.
That's another thing with certain movies, the way that the actors emote with it, you feel it. Like, you feel that backhand, feel Freddy knifing Nancy.
And everything he did was almost a pantomime. Like, he was doing it for vaudeville stage. It's very over-exaggerated and beyond, because that's the sort of demon he is. But it works for it. That the wide arm swings, the posing, all that stuff, it just adds to it. It almost feels like something done in the 1930s. Like a Nosferatu, a Phantom of the Opera. So you sort of know that I think his inspiration were those like old Universal Monsters.
I could see that. I really could.
It was just Universal Monsters in the days of vulgarity.
I guess, who are our modern monsters now? Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers?
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw, yep.
Of modern stuff? Like, very modern, you're talking? It would probably be Jigsaw.
Last 30 years.
Last 30 years?
Scream guy, maybe? No, not really, I guess.
Ghostface? But not really. Nah, it's sort of a spoof. Jeepers Creepers. The Creeper.
That guy's a guy who directed those movies is a creep.
Let's ignore that. It's still creepy enough as is.
Oh yeah, the monster is scary.
Death itself from
Final Destination.
Final Destination, which may or may not be Tony Todd.
Which I always thought that was kind of cool.
That he may be there. That may be the human form of death, giving them a chance. While he's also the guy behind the scene pulling the strings.
I kind of like how Wes Craven brought the circle of Nancy literally complete here. Introducing her in number one, killing her off here. She beat Freddy.
And then but then bringing the very first real meta movie in New Nightmare.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that was clearly the framework that he was going to use for Scream 2 years later. The nun that was thought to have been the mother?
Yep, it's revealed to be Amanda Krueger, yeah.
Yeah.
the bastard son of a thousand maniacs. I always thought that was such a clever tagline.
That literally, it's like, that somehow the rape slash seed of a thousand people being, like, the visual they wanted to paint in your mind of this woman was ravaged by a thousand people in a mental institution.
Over the Christmas holidays.
For a Christmas thing. That whatever, if it's like, not a matter of each sperm made one thing, but the idea that that amount of evil
could create something. It. Yeah, I always thought that was a crazy, scary idea. Like I said, Wes Craven created something amazing. He really did. And then the lights go on.
Oh, yeah. There wasn't post-credit scenes in these, except that he would return or something like that. No, they didn't do that even, did they?
No, they didn't even do that, no.
This was a good movie.
Yeah, this honestly, it's entertaining from start
and
to
I know,
finish.
And I know we weaved and talked about different things, but that's what you're getting with these commentaries, is you're getting...
Us.
This is a movie we've all seen, or most of us have seen, and it's just our thoughts on individual things happening, as well as how we think it relates to today.
Yeah.
This is really cool.
Yeah, plus you're going to learn a little bit more about us. Some good, some not so good. But that's the thing. This is what you get if you hung out with us.
Some not so good. Wait, is Alex a bad boy?
You're a special one, my friend.
I am a special, special boy. My mummy loves me.
I love you too.
Oh, that's even better.
All right, so hopefully you have enjoyed this Twig DVD / movie commentary. We will be bringing more to you in the coming weeks and months ahead as me and Alex kind of go through horror, action, comedy. We're going to have a laugh with you. We're going to have some fun with you. They're always going to be interesting.
Are we going to watch like Caligula or some really hardcore stuff?
I've actually never seen Caligula, and I'm always very curious.
It's a long movie to watch, and I've only ever seen bits and pieces, and it's not really even... sexy.
It's not something you hang out with your friends and watch.
No, we can do Debbie Does Dallas, though.
Oh, God. On that note...
Do a drinking game. Every time you see Bush, you gotta drink. We're gonna die.
Well, I can't drink now because of my meds.
No, same. We'll just die. It'll just be too much.
We'll just die.
It's just too much fur.
Oh, boy. On that note, hopefully you've had fun tonight. Once again, we welcome your emails, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Always looking forward to hearing them on Twitter at thisweekingeek. You can find me at Birdman Dodd.
You can... Oh, you're talking to me now?
Yes.
You can find me at Turd or Treasure, or if you want email feedback at what you want to see, send it to feedback at thisweekingeek.net, or even me, Alex at thisweekingeek.net.
Yep, we'll definitely, if we can find it and get it legally, we'll watch it.
Yes, exactly.
So, like I said, guys, hopefully you've had fun tonight. So, as the song goes, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd with...
I'm just singing the song in my head, sorry. With Alex.
Until next time, we're the Dream Warriors!
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.